Fellas, did you hear that?
Hear what?
That sound.
A lock of Samuel's thin blonde hair fell free from under his mining helmet and dangled on his high forehead.
Sounded like sand blowing across the desert or something like that. Didn't you hear it?
No wind down here, Sam. Unless maybe there's another opening.
Will fell to his back again. He stared up at the ceiling of the limestone tunnel. Cracked rock, a few black marks left by small charges. His chest still heaved from the effort of moving that damn rock.
Maybe. Could be a connecting tunnel further in, which would be swell. Come on, fellas, let's see where this thing leads.
I think Rich Boy is staying here.
Douglas made a third slap at Will's thigh, but pulled back at the last second, avoiding contact. Will said nothing, merely raised his hand, extended his middle finger, then let the hand whump heavily back into dry silt. Samuel's head disappeared into the dark hole. Douglas followed him, head first, working his body through the confined opening. Will lay motionless, eyes closed, listening to his friend's excited laughter fade into nothingness. He just needed to rest. The cave was so peaceful, so still. He'd close his eyes for a few minutes, relax in the motionless, timeless caverns. Just a cat nap, perhaps, and then... His eyes flew open, yet he remained deathly still. He'd heard the faintest echo of a noise that somehow didn't belong, a faint clicking, the sound of metal tapping rock, and another sound, something he couldn't put his finger on, and yet it stirred recollections of Chicago, his hometown. He strained to grasp the noise again, not moving, not breathing, not understanding the cause of his sudden fear. He listened. Again, the sound of metal on rock, now followed by a hissing, breathy, scraping sound. For Will, the sound brought back memories of Chicago's powerful weather. The sound of dry, wind-blown leaves and loose paper hissing across concrete streets and sidewalks. But unlike steady gusts of Chicago wind, the new sound ebbed and flowed with a jerky stop-start feel. It reminded Will of another noise, a noise he'd learned to watch out for since he'd started hiking into the mountains with Samuel and Douglas some 3 years ago. The malignant shake of a rattlesnake's warning.
Can't be snakes. Not down here.
Will fought down a creeping panic and a sudden clutching stab of claustrophobia. His reaction to the strange noise was primitive, instinctive, and raw. He rolled to his knees. He reached out, found his helmet, and put it on. He peered into the hole he'd labored so long to create. The helmet lamp's light showed more ancient silt, more ancient stone. Maybe 50 yards in, the tunnel angled down, out of sight. He felt a strong urge to run, but his friends were in there. Will stared into the tunnel, listening to the bone-dry, hissing, rattling grow and swell, until another, more recognizable sound overwhelmed it. It billowed up from some unseen place far down the tunnel. Will knew it was Samuel, although he'd never before heard Samuel scream. Will forced himself to remain rooted to the spot. He couldn't summon the courage to cram himself into the narrow opening, to crawl deeper into the mountain's belly, but he could keep himself from a cowardly flight while his friends remained in the tunnel. Then he saw a bouncing light before he heard the rhythmic pounding of heavy footsteps and the strained breath of a man running for his life. It was Douglas, pounding hard and fast up the sandy incline, blood smearing his face and covering his chest as if someone had splashed him with a great bucket of gore. Douglas fell hard. His helmet rolled and bounced like a decapitated head clattering off the cave wall. He scrambled to his feet and ran some more, each desperate step kicking up fine silt that arced in the air behind him. But he no longer resembled Douglas. He looked like an animal, panicked and desperate, fleeing something that wanted to catch him, bring him down, eat him alive. Will turned, about to run, and stopped himself. His chest and stomach tingled, a glassy feeling that pulled at him, told him to flee, but he couldn't leave his friends. Will forced himself back to the opening.
Douglas! What's happening?
Douglas said nothing. He kept sprinting through the narrow tunnel, closing the distance. Will's light played off his friend's blood-smeared skin, his wide eyes. and something else, something behind Douglas. Strange lights, colors flowing across the stone. Lights and movement. Douglas dove for the narrow opening. He tried to worm his way through the tight bottleneck, but panic slowed his efforts. His hands lashed forward, more like he was fighting against drowning water than crawling through a mountain. Knuckles burst open each time they slammed into jagged, unforgiving rock.
Dude, calm down! Let me pull you out!
Will grabbed at his friend's flailing arms and bloody hands.
Sam, it's lots!
Spittle flew from Doug's mouth, splattering against his face, mixing with the blood that sheeted his face, although there was no visible wound. The blood wasn't his. Will locked down on Douglas's blood-smeared right wrist, gripped it tight with both hands, and pulled. Douglas started to slide through, but whatever had been chasing him caught up and pulled back, hard. Doug's free hand grasped desperately at the rocks, his fingers as taut and rigid as dry sticks scattered by desert wind. Douglas's eyes somehow grew even wider. A smell billowed up, assaulting, unavoidable. Cat feces, old pears, fish gone bad. Will planted his feet, right foot on the stone mouth, left on the very pumpkin-shaped rock he'd worked so hard to move. He squeezed harder, refused to let Doug go. He then lifted his gaze to see strange lights flickering inside the tunnel beyond Douglas, backlighting his sweat and blood-soaked skin and terror-trenched face, casting strange, jerking shadows on Will and the stone around him. Will arched his back and pulled with everything he had, knowing that if he failed, that if he lost his grip, his friend would die. From inside the opening, Will saw a flash of something silver. A sudden release of opposite pressure made Will fall backward on his ass, as if his opponent in the tug of war had just dropped the rope. Only it wasn't a rope he'd been pulling. Will's two hands still clutched Douglas's wrist. The fingers twitched, split knuckles dripping red. Halfway to the elbow, shirt sleeve still attached, Doug's arm ended, severed with a cut as clean as that of a butcher's meat saw. Will's headlamp light lit up the blood pattering down to the silt below. Doug's radius and ulna gleamed white and oozed gooey marrow. Then flickers of colored light sparkled from the opening, danced off the rough rocks, burned brighter, growing in intensity. And then more movement, a glowing shape that Will's mind couldn't identify, couldn't process. Will tossed Doug's hand aside, scrambled to his feet. That glassy urge to save himself finally controlled his thoughts, completely and without question. He ran. Behind him, the scratchy rasp of something sliding through the narrow opening. Those strange colors lit up the rocks around him, cast ahead of him the long, jerking shadow of a man. Will didn't look back and attacked the incline. Feet pounded into soft silt. Legs drove him forward with strength he hadn't known existed. If whatever attacked Sam and Doug lived in the darkness, then if he could just make it back to the tunnel opening, maybe he could escape. He could survive. Chest heaving, limbs screaming white hot from fatigue, he finally saw salvation. Sunlight. Will poured it on, ignored his exhausted body, forced himself to go faster. With a final burst of energy, he escaped the shaft and stumbled onto the small limestone plateau. The hot sun, the glorious, life-giving sun, instantly warmed his shadow-chilled skin. Will took a couple of unsteady steps and half-tripped, half-collapsed onto the unforgiving limestone. For a moment, just one moment of lovely denial, he thought his legs had given out. Then the pain set in, slashing, slicing, piercing. Then he smelled that horrid scent. Something warm grabbed his ankles. For the second time that afternoon, he was dragged along on his stomach. His eyes searched for a solid purchase to keep from being dragged, but his bloody hands merely slipped off half-buried rocks or pulled others uselessly free.
No!
As the cool darkness slid over him once again.